Sunday, 23rd of December, I'm Mordechai Nissim, the end of days and current events.
Good morning everyone, we've all chosen a very interesting topic which is at the moment a lot of people are trying to suggest that things are happening in the world, so they always are. So. But I want to look at what Chazal say about what to expect from our world, from Olam Hazeh, as it moves on to Olam Haba. And we're looking at sources from Chazal and how things around us really, if they can be interpreted as being part of those predictions. So I've got the Rambam over here. I've also got a sefer which I was asked to translate from the Ramchal called The Secrets of the Redemption, which is why I feel qualified to talk about this subject. It's not available at the moment because Baruch Hashem is sold out, but it's going to be republished. I was interested to know what happens at the end of the day called The Secrets of the Redemption. Ma'amar HaGeula, Ramchal speaks about this, exactly about this topic. So let's start by asking our question. What is the concept of salvation, of Geula? Where does Geula come from? And we know it's been talked about a lot in all the different people around the world who believe in God, in Hashem. But it's very fundamental to us. We pray for it on a regular basis. Very important part of our davening. But apart from the concept of Mashiach, which is something else, but to bring the Geula means we reach the end of our goal, of our mission in this world, in Olam Hazeh. So it's not just a preoccupation, it's a fundamental part of what Yiddishkeit is all about. All the mitzvahs which we do is to bring us eventually to a tzatzah, to a result, where the world is in a perfect state. And it's very important to know this, because quite often the challenge towards us is, oh, where was the Kaddish Baruch Hu during the Shoah, during the Holocaust? Yeah? So I think the most important question, first of all, the fact that we're still around in numbers, and there's more Torah going on than perhaps in any other generation. It might not be to the same quality and degree, but the Yidden numbers are no less than they were now around the time of the Holocaust. So the fact that we're still around after the Holocaust proves that you can't get rid of the Jewish people, Baruch Hashem. Even a Holocaust is not going to destroy them. Right? So as far as we're concerned, right, we're fighting and kicking and you tell us a lot. But also it's important to understand, why did it happen? Well, the world is not a perfect place. The world was created not in a perfect state by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order for the human beings to perfect it. So you can expect things to go wrong, or human beings not to act in the best way. It's not wrong really in Hashem's eyes. As far as we're concerned, we haven't reached the final perfection of the world. So therefore we see things that don't seem perfect to us. But that's not because there's anything wrong with it. Right? It's only because that's part of Hashem's goal, that human beings should perfect the world. I was once when I was a chaplain to students in the Yorkshire. Once there was a debate in the York University, which I was part of, and I participated with the sanction of Gedolim, or the dining of our community. I had to engage a priest and an imam, and they both came along to try and convince. I think the topic that time was about conversion. That's right, about conversion. So comes along the Yimach Shemo, whatever, from the other religion, and he says, look. He says, I can't sum up all the different opinions in Nazareth, whatever you want to call it, right? He says, but what I can tell you is, you have to be saved, right? You have to say whatever and be saved. Okay, then he sat down. And then the Muslim guy gets up and he says, I'm warning all of you, if you do not believe in Allah and the Prophet, he says, you will all burn in purgatory. Okay? That was very nice. And then it was my turn. I'm saying it quite, with respect, we should call them. And then that was my turn. I said, look, this is not a game of world domination, like you pay risk or something, but when you choose to pay risk. I said, this is much more, you have to make an informed decision. There's much more to it than just, well, I signed a dotted line or something, and like you pay a Visa card and you sign or something, like we used to use your signature, and that's it, you're committed, you're saved. Yeah, there's much more to it than that. You have to really, it's the most important thing in the world. And therefore it's a sugya that we have to learn. There's a lot of stories, but I'll be ashamed to tell you on the entertainment. So the question is the world getting better or worse? If we're supposed to perfect the world, is it getting better or is it getting worse? I mean, people tell you there's so much crime, there's so much problems in the world, people are so far away from Hashem, there's so much assimilation. It's interesting, Rav Jacobovitz, the Rabbi Shalom, wrote a diary of the chief rabbi. I don't know if you have that book, called A Diary of the Chief Rabbi. And the first, this brings to mind, the first, I think one of the first essays he wrote is Jewish secularism. And he writes there that really the worry and the threat that Torah will ever finish and leave this world is not really mistaken. It's not really logical. But as I said before, because you look at the Holocaust, we're here still. There's no such threat that assimilation is going this way you describe, because it never happened in the past. And our numbers are very good at the moment, they're strong. So the threat though is that the people who are assimilating, we're going to lose those particular people. And that will be a chaval. So that's why we have to fight assimilation, and that's why we have to kill organisations which are doing that. But if you look at the world as a global unit, of what's going on in the world, all the chazals and all the hashpale hashkafa, kubalim, etc., will tell you, and see it clearly in the Ramchal's writings, that the world is getting better. It's definitely getting better. A few examples of it, it's a much bigger debate. Any time I've ever dealt with this as a topic itself, everyone in the room agreed that it was true. But when you look at other stuff, it doesn't seem that way. But if you look at the world as a child that's growing up and becoming an adult, the world is advancing. The education is something which is a universal goal and something which is everyone looks up to. Welfare, righteousness, although they haven't yet reached the perfect state, but for example, I'll give you one example. When people go to war, they have to wear the right uniform. Somebody, Chas v'Shalom, wears the wrong uniform, it's going to break the Warsaw Convention, and they're going to take him to a tribunal. Can you imagine, 1,000 years ago, people going to war, and if they're worried about wearing the wrong uniform, they're going to be taken to a court. Right? We're going to blast the guy's head off anyway, so what difference does it make what he's wearing? Right? To anything he wants. But the world now has reached a point where you can't get away, there's accountability in the world. And that's a concept which Ramchal talks about quite clearly, that when you get to the end of the day, the world becomes like a global community, and you can therefore, the people are accountable, because they're doing the cheshbon and everything. So the times are proving times, we're getting a bit closer towards that. What about Mashiach? Where does Mashiach come into this? So it's quite clear from the Rambam, that one should not try and work out when the Mashiach is going to come, right? To park at Motel Shemechash Vekates. If you try and work out when the Mashiach is coming, you get so frustrated, and it's like his bones will blow up. And it says, the Rambam says, all the people who try to work out when the Mashiach is coming, he says, it's not Ikar Hadat, it's not a very important fundamental of being Jewish. It doesn't teach you to be a better Yid. And it doesn't improve the world in any way whatsoever. It's just interesting. It's just interesting. Yeah, that's all it is. So it doesn't help us be better Jewish people. So what is the Mashiach? So according to Chazal, when we reach a certain degree of world development, a certain stage in our development as a world, then the Mashiach appears to help us finish off the process. That's what Mashiach is. But the goal really is no richer in the Torah to bring Mashiach. The goal is to bring the redemption, to bring the Geula. Wherever we daven for it, we're davening for the Geula. How do you bring the Geula? Torah Mitzvahs. And that's interesting as well, because the Yidden have a particular tachlis in the world. We learn this from Mordechai and Esther. And Mordechai, before the story of Purim, I think it says in the Midrash on Nehemiah, these are Ezra and Nehemiah, how in the Sanhedrin he was up there, I think in number four. After the story of Purim, he's relegated. You might be able to remember what the exactly says in the Midrash. Yeah, it was like seven or something like that. So it says, because he went to gamble with Soche Sibor, he became the Prime Minister, and he left the base medrash, he went down in importance. But did he have a choice? He didn't have a choice. He said, Israel well, anyway. That was part of his mission, to go down in his importance and learning, because that was he had to sacrifice that. But if you ask the Shaila, is it better for a Yid to be a scientist or be a Rosh Hashiva? So no question, it should be a Rosh Hashiva. He's got the choice. If he hasn't got the choice, and he has to go and make Prime Minister, so he might as well go and make a meaningful panacea to help the world. But if he's got a choice, well, a guy can't be a Rosh Hashiva. A Yid can be a Rosh Hashiva, so we're going to lose a Rosh Hashiva because of that. So sure, a Yid should spend his time, right, doing things which only Jews can do, because that's how we're going to improve the world. So by learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs, we're actually making a difference to the world, as we've been told to do by Hashem. Whereas making money in science and all that, making breakthroughs in science, which is very important, is not necessarily our tachlis. Sometimes you've got a Jew whose career and parnassah is best in that area, and they do amazing things. And come on, in Israel now, there's Israel. There's more scientific breakthroughs on a daily, weekly occurrence. Unbelievable what's going on. Week after week, if you read scientific journals, there's new discoveries in treating, you know, the machra and all sorts of how to glue bones together when there's a fracture. All new discoveries which are happening in our time. Anyway, moving on. There's a list of very interesting sources that we don't normally hear in the base medrash, which I thought is interesting to know about. For example, the Ramchal writes, quoting the Zohar Kadosh, that at the end of days, there's a huge battle between the heads of the goyim. So it's quite mentioned a number of times in the Zohar. And who are the heads of the goyim? Esav and Yishmael. one on the right and one on the left. It says Ishmael on the right, Esav on the left. Right? Remember correctly. And there's a war going on between them. I'm not going to be the first to mention that the name Ishmael says Yishmael. The Arizal says it. The Hashem listens, to listen to God as they go around screaming and shouting all the time, Allahu Akbar, everything's in the name of God. They've hijacked God and said, only we know what God is. No one else knows what God is, only we know. Although they don't, none of them can agree with each other. They all have big arguments about really what they're supposed to follow. Yeah, and especially in our generation where the moderate ones have been hijacked by the extremist ones. They used to be the Sufis, the Muslims, they believe the Mashiach will come by himself. These ones want to try and force it. So that's one side. The other side, Esav. Esav is from La'asot, to do. Right? So who is Esav today? If you take Edom, I don't think I'm saying anything which is a chiddush, but if you take Edom, Edom becomes Rome. Rome becomes the West, which used to be Europe, and then the New Europe, which is America. Yeah, I think it's quite clear amongst all Chazal that the Edom is talking about America as a world power. Right, that's Edom. What is clear about Americans? Freedom, tolerance, rights, liberty. You go into any American kitchen, you've got a yogurt maker, and a challah maker, and a bread maker, and a baker. Everyone's like, you have to be self-sufficient and have everything there is in the whole world. You have to just do everything yourself. You don't need anyone else in the whole world. Right? So you have these two ideas. You can speak about half an hour. This is what's going on in our world. There's a confrontation between these two concepts. One is just listen to Hashem, don't use your brain, be a robot, don't have any chinuch, just follow what they tell you. Right? That's in the East. That's who's leading the East? The Muslim world. Yeah? That's what they believe, and that's the message. Allahu Akbar, do what Hashem says. Well, you don't question what he's really saying, because you're not allowed to use your brain. If you use your brain, that's no good. What's the American saying? Only use your brain, forget about Hashem. Separate the state from God, and it's two separate things, and just use your brain, eventually you'll come to the truth. Very interesting, because actually religion works quite well relatively in America compared to England. There's more people that have respect for in America for religion than they do in England. Yet the church is separate. That's a different topic. So the Americans would say that the culture is based on basically a person using his freedom to reach the goal. So what do we believe in as Yidden? It's quite clear, as a child, the Gemara says, if you take a child to the Gemara Brachot, you put a money around the thing about his neck, and you feed him and clothe him and look after him and put what about him, what can you do in order not to sin if you put him outside the wrong place? Right? Basically, this is talking about. So you can't give the child too many choices when he's young. You've got to give him an ideology, bring him up with the ideology before the exile gets hold of him. Then when you reach Gemara age, Talmud, how much is 15, you open up his mind with his own learning, and he will reach freedom of understanding because he's been given all the tools that he can achieve it with. If he doesn't, you don't give him the tools in the first place, he can't achieve it. So we believe in both concepts. In fact, there was one of the Tabi Mufhak of Rav Dessler was Chacham Sasson in our Sfaradic community. And Chacham Sasson used to lecture in universities, although he never even went to school. He was brought up at home with private educators. Chacham Sasson challenges Freud in one of his Sfarim, and he says, and he says that in the garden, in Gan Eden, there were two trees. It says there was Etz HaChaim and Etz Da'at Tovara. So what was the difference between the two of them? It says that Etz HaChaim Betoch HaGan was in the middle. Lashon Betoch means in the center, the principal truth. Rabbi says if Adam HaRishon would have eaten from the Etz HaChaim first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given him to eat from the Etz Da'at Tovara. And first you have to reach the goal of being part of the Etz HaChaim, which is you have to understand Hashem and be part of the whole system of world, global, divine order of creation. The Ramchal calls it the Anhaga Ha'elyona, that the whole of the world is one global idea. We have to be part of it every moment. That's Hashem Echad. Everything that happens in the world is part, it's not just a consequence, it's part of Hashem's plan. That's the Etz HaChaim. First you have to commit to that. You bring a child up, you mechanach him in believing that there is a tachlis to everything. And this is Torah. Then, when he becomes intellectually able to stand on his feet, so then it's a da'at tovera. You can challenge good and bad and try and work it out. And if we don't develop, you don't learn Gemara and be able to analyze things properly. So then we just remain a child with a bar mitzvah education, that's spoon fed and brainwashed. Now, if you take those two ideas, and that's the Etz HaChaim, Etz HaDa'at Tovera. If you look around the world, what's going on, those are the two messages of these two cultures that are fighting us. You've got, on the one hand, freedom, just Etz HaDa'at Tovera. Everything is about whether you what you understand from it. To me, it means blah, blah, blah. Yeah, everyone's got their own opinion of what life is. Right? So there's no commitment to anything. On the other hand, you've got these people saying, commit to Allah or we're going to kill you. There is nothing else but what we tell you, we're going to force it on you. These are the two concepts exactly in the East and the West. And Eretz Yisrael is right in the middle. Right? Right in the middle. If they would unify against us, that's it, we're in trouble. If they were unified amongst themselves, it'd be trouble as well. So you understand what's going on? If you look at, it says, if you go into the UN Council outside, it's got that pasuk from, I think from Micha, where it's the plowshares and everyone's going to live in harmony and everything. The UN is the most, hates Eretz Yisrael. It's slightly better this year than any other year. Israel's never been elected to any single council except for one that was to have flowers in the world or something in the 1970s, and that was only after Lord Thatcher. There's more resolutions against Israel than any other country. Quite obviously, why? Because it's 42 or 48 member Muslim states. They're not going to exactly be on Israel's side. If they would all unify against America and Israel, that's it. They'll be mafia of the world. Because Baruch Hu makes it, because the Sitra Achra is because it's from Pirud, from division, they can never unify. Because the Makor is not united. So we could suggest what's going on in the world is a clash of these two concepts. They're fighting each other. One is saying you have to do what God says, even though they don't know what God's saying according to us, because they've got it wrong. They've taken our religion and corrupted it. Hijacked Hashem. The other one's saying, leave God out of the picture and just be a human being and use your own devices to try and work it out. Right? Education. When Blair went to Iraq, the first thing is we bring education. We're trying to liberate the world with education so you can be a free thinker. Democracy. That's what democracy is. So it's a clash between these two concepts. We believe in both of them. As a child, you bring the child up to believe in Etzer Chaim, which is you have to believe in Hashem, that's it. Afterwards, you have to help him to understand Hashem as well, otherwise he remains a child. So what's going on in the world is a clash of these two concepts. And we're right in the middle of it. Yeah? It's quite amazing if you think about what's happening. Even geographically it's like that. Yeah? So that's what's going on around us. Another very important source. Chesed L'Avraham was a great, 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 great grandfather of the Chidah. Chidah is a very important post-it. B'chei Yosef, quoting the Mishnah Berurah all the time, very big amongst the Hasidim as well, and certainly amongst the Sfaradim. His great grandfather actually buried in Hebron, the Chesed L'Avraham, great, great Mekubal, often quoted, Moshe Shapiro quotes him a lot, all the time, a lot of secrets in this sefer. Listen to what it says. Da, ki misorat Kabbalah, it's a tradition, yesh be'adenu. Ki ve'otro yom she'avo melech ha-Mashiach, the day the Mashiach comes, in kibbut galiot, the Eretz Yisrael with the people that are coming from Galut, yimatzeh sham, the Eretz Yisrael, you'll find in Eretz Yisrael, shiv'at alafim b'bnei Yisrael, 7,000 Jews. That's it. The Tchiyas HaMeitim will begin on the same day that Mashiach is revealed. On that same day that the Mashiach will appear. The Jews in Chutzlaretz, which will still remain, will be taught a lesson. It will take them another 40 years. Take another 40 years till they eventually will also have Tchiyas HaMeitim. That explains a bit more about what happens at that time. Very interesting. Right? On the same day, I've never seen that source anywhere else. It's not often quoted. It's not a suspicious source. It's a source that's quoted by many, many scholars, including Moshe Shapiro, one of the Gedolei Hador. And we see a different idea of what's going to happen. It's quite frightening, only 7,000. There's an interesting Yalkut Shimoni that I recently saw that says as follows. It says, in the end of days, I can't remember exactly the Lashon and the Lashon HaKodesh, but it says, in the end of days, it says, Melech Paras will go to Melech Arav. And he'll convince him to make a pact. And then they'll go to Melech Edom. And that's what will happen. They'll turn against Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael will be alone in the world. We'll have to fight some battles. There'll be terrible problems in Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem will protect them. And then the Mashiach will come. That's when the Mashiach is revealed. It's Yalkut Shimoni. Exactly in that sort of lesson. In particular, Rabati, I think it's Vav. I can't remember exactly where it was. I have to look it up again. I had short notice, so I didn't have a chance to look at the sources. Do you understand that last week, the king of Arabia made a pact with the head of Persia? And I understand as soon as he made that pact, America suddenly said, oh, Iran's not a threat anymore. It's not that suspicious to you. Right? These are world events that are going on right now. It's unbelievable. What's going to happen? We don't know. Does that mean America is going to turn against the Jews? I don't think so. But it means that things are happening around us. I mean, whenever I hear these things, people get very scared. Oh my goodness, doomsday. I get very excited because Baruch Hashem, you see, Chazal's been Mekayim. What will happen? Hashem knows what will happen. We have to be strong. We have to be ready for Mishra Nefesh. But it's exciting. I mean, the Gemara says that there'll be a war. The big machlokis in the Gemara Yuma. Will Edom defeat Paras? Or will Paras defeat Edom? It's the same thing that we're talking about over here. There'll be a war. We know that at the end of the days, and what does the Gemara say? That Edom will gather together all the world against Paras. NATO. It's all the UN. So everything that's happening around us was said 2,000 years ago in our Gemara. It's unbelievable. Yeah? What's the message? I don't know what the message is, but we have to be tuning a bit and try and just follow through, keep the mitzvahs. But that's quite clearly the things which are mentioned in Chazal. So see what to put in and what to leave out. What's the Olam Haba? Let's talk about Olam Haba for a moment. What is exactly the essence of Olam Haba? What is it between when Mashiach will come and then we'll go to Olam Haba, which isn't immediate anyway, and this world? So the Ramchal explains, based on the Gemara, that when Adam HaRishon first was created, it says in a very interesting way, as a mashal, there was no process in the world. For example, it says a child was born straight away. Yeah, there'll be a father and a mother, and then suddenly the child, there'll be a child immediately. They'll go in one room, come out, they've got the child already. That's how it's described. So you know what I'm talking about. The Gemara says it's similar to that. So what's that mashal? There's no process. That means it's just the result. It's just the Olam HaSchal. There's Olam HaVoida and there's Olam HaSchal. So Olam HaVoida means there's a process. We have to work very hard and then we get the result. Whereas in Olam Haba, there's only the result. So we can't really relate to that. Because you're taking away anything which involves challenge, struggle, and avoda. Right, Stadlus. It's completely removed from the equation. That means the intention, the goal, and the result happen at the same time. There's nothing in between. And so the Gemara talks about slav as a kind of something which talks about in Baal Basra. The tree produces fruits all the time, never stops. All year round. In one day, it's from not being. From a bud to basically a fruit, a cloud happens in one day, right? So the difference between this one and next one, we can't relate it because there's no free choice anymore. There's no good and bad anymore. B'la'ah mavet la'netzach, Hashem takes away all the evil. So what exactly do you do? Tzadikim yoshim va'atzeret tehem b'rashahem v'nehenim b'ziv ha'shechina. They sit there and just enjoy Hashem. So we can't really relate to it because as human beings, we are built in such a way that we're in the world to achieve something. We have a goal, a mission, we go to work, we learn Torah, we're trying to achieve something. If you take that away from a human being, he becomes depressed. He's got no meaning. So we can't really relate to what Olam Haba is going to be about. But while we're in Olam Hazeh, we understand that the difference between what it's going to be like and what it is right now is the fact that we're fighting and struggling for our mission to keep things. That's very important to understand that. So, what can we do about it? Quite clear, it's a mitzvah. Every time we're doing a mitzvah, interesting, one of the Rabbi Yashar's grandfather we know was a great mekubal called the Shem Shabbat Achlama, and he says if you make a reckoning, according to his reckoning, we're already in Tchiyat HaMetim. It's already started. Hard to understand what that means. I don't know what it means, right? But I can tell you what it's written. I can show you what it says. I don't know what it means. But we're in Tchiyat HaMetim. The concept of Hashem creating a world which has in it death and has mitzvah in it, and every day we are mechaya that world. Yeah, we bring it alive again, mechaya metim, as we say the bracha each day. How do we do it? Because every single time we do a mitzvah, we're reviving a certain part of our neshama that hasn't yet come in the world. Every time we do a mitzvah, we're bringing in a bria chadasha, yesh me'ayin, that never existed before. How do we do it? Simply, we take something physical, like a pair of tefillin, and in that tefillin, there's something which is left behind from creation, which is in the matter of the world, and it's attached to some aspects of my mission, my own neshama, and by engaging it as a mitzvah, now it's not just a physical item, it's connected to my neshama, which is not something physical. My neshama then extends up to the higher levels of creation. That's how the connection is made between the physical and the spiritual. Now, if a person's not Jewish, that doesn't really exist because they haven't got mitzvahs. They've got some mitzvahs, but they can't turn to something spiritual. That's why the mission of Tikkun Olam, of repairing the world, is only in the hand of the Jew. Because only a Jew has mitzvahs, can connect this physical act to something which is spiritual, which is ruchani. So they have a good guf and a neshama. Great and a neshama as well, but they haven't got the job of being able to make that difference. We can make that connection and that difference. We make that difference, what happens is, then, as it says in the Midrash, that the malachim, they bring in all the bracha. It says, en esed gadel, a little herb grass cannot grow unless a malach hits it and says, grow, gadel. Where do they get the courage to be able to do that? Kodesh Baruch Hu gives it to them, but they're not allowed to do it unless the human beings give them the key to start doing it. If you look at the brachas of Shema, this is what we're talking about, actually. The whole brachas of Shema is about the malachim waiting to sing, and then this is there, is that. So if you look at the Ramchal and Derech Hashem, and the Rambam Sfarim, it explains it quite clearly, that they're waiting for the human beings to do the mitzvah of Shachrit. When you do the mitzvah of Shachrit, we ain't spilling and talis and all the other parts which go with it. Then our physical act connects to our extensive act of Shemaim, and then we can give the key to the malachim to start bringing the bracha in the world. So if a yid will not daven properly in the morning, and not do certain mitzvahs which they have to do every day, the daily ones, and the practice mitzvahs which come with time by circumstantial situations, money comes to turn up or something, if we don't do those mitzvahs, then the malachim are not allowed to bring the bracha in the world. So from there we see that if a yid does not keep mitzvahs, the Mashiach will not come, or the Gula will not come, because they're not going to perfect the world. No? And so therefore our job and our focus is on Torah and mitzvahs. Right? Because no one else can do it but you, Jewish people. And when we do it, says the Ramchal, the most amazing thing happens. Automatically in Shemaim, the Goyim get also a bracha, and the scientists get the blessings to have the all the kind of discoveries which they make to help the world move forward to advanced technology. So if we look at the world according to this view of the Ramchal, what's happening is that the Jewish people are learning the Torah, and by learning the Torah, they're advancing the world. And the koach of learning the Torah and keeping the mitzvahs gives, in the revealed world, the Olam HaNikla, the koach to the goyim to develop the world forward and to use education to come to the same, the right, correct discoveries. I'll give you examples. When I was studying masters in education, there's a chap called Belbin, and he worked on organizational theory, and he found that there were 9 types of role models, or characters of people. If you have them in an organization working together, everything works much more efficiently. Right? And he's an incredible bracha in that organization. And he wrote learning style profiles, and the whole way of doing this was they made a film with a famous a comedian called John Cleese, and he made it worth cost a lot of money to try and go into organizations. And this is basically benchmark standard education now in university, a master's level. Right? It's called Belbin Series. If you compare the 19 roles that he's talking about, they're exactly the same as the spheres of the Kabbalah. Exactly the same. I wrote a paper on it. I couldn't believe it myself. Take the first one away, it's exactly the same. So it took the world 2,000 years to discover what we already had in our Zohar HaKadosh. In the Nigla it says, because Baruch already created 10 levels, it says, when he created the world. It says, Vayom Elohim 9 times, the Bereshit is the 10th one. So it takes the Goyim a long time to... I've got a lot of examples of that. It's completely understandable why it's like that, because they have to go through the world and learn from science and nature by looking and making, you know, the difference between that. It takes a long time to do all the surveys, so they eventually come up with the truth and say, right, now it's established as a fact. It's unchallengeable that that's how the world works. They discovered it. But our Torah has already the shorish of that idea from the very beginning. We don't have to go and discover it physically and reveal it to the world. But they have to do that in order to develop the world forward. So really the goal is, it's interesting, the Ramchal says, when the Mashiach comes, is not somebody that has to be forced on the world. He says, Ovdo Shechem Echad, that the entire world recognizes they want to have a leader, and they serve as one people. And what does that mean? They'll become Jewish? No. Our preoccupation is not to make the world Jewish. It's for them to accept that there's one Hashem, and that the Torah is MS, they don't have to become Jewish. And it says the Mashiach becomes elected by the entire world. That's the Lashon of the Ramchal. It's not for one particular group of people. For the whole world, it becomes elected. I don't know exactly how they elect it. Maybe through SMS and these phones or something. I don't know how they do it. Exactly. Right? But the whole world apparently votes, and that's the one we want. Now he's the Mashiach from his knowledge. You know, the Rambam explains from his knowledge. Yeah? That's what's going to happen at the end of time. I mean, the world's going to come to, how do they come to this recognition? By using their faithful. And what Moshe Shapiro explains that explains that there'll be this big challenge between the world, there'll be a confrontation to see who is really the MS, and even some Jews will go the wrong way, but eventually the truth will stand for itself. So in the revealed world of the Nikkur, the truth stands for itself, we don't have to worry about it. But that's not the preoccupation of the Yid. Our preoccupation should be that when we learn Torah, we bring a certain task in the world through our emunah, through our understanding, through learning the Torah, through learning the concepts of what's in the Gemara. Automatically we're introducing in the world in a spiritual way, but also in a seichelic way as well, exactly what the Goyim will learn through going their way by bringing it into the revealed world through science and technology and those kind of things. So let's try and wrap it up by saying that really our job is not to be too much concerned as to exactly when Mashiach is going to come. It's not to be too much concerned by being, entertained by all these ideas, but rather our main focus should be keeping more Torah, more mitzvahs, and not even giving up one tiny opportunity of making a Kiddush Hashem and giving Mesirat Nefesh, but being able to bring more Torah in the world and more mitzvahs. Have a nice week.